Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Good evening. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. It's a Friday, the 21st of February 2025.
Your favorite day of the month. Yeah. And my friends are still working, so they are still in Noangwena region, so there is no life in Windhoek today, guys.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone is out of town, and people are giving their final respect to the founding father. Yeah, welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and
me, Hileni Inane.
Yeah, we are always very happy to be with you, especially this time. Yeah, to our dear listeners, for those of you who are coming to the program for the first time, or those of you who are opening to this platform for the first time, Business and Economic Segment, this is an economic platform where we talk about economic matters, we talk about business, we talk about money, talk about cash, talk about how to, you know, how to find opportunities, and also we look at government policies, we look at international policies on economy, we also look at international financial institutions. And yeah, the aim is... It's one aim, Hileni, just to move the country forward. Yeah.
And not the backwards.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we are moving, ne?
Yeah.
At least something should be moving.
Yeah.
I don't know if... yeah, no, I need to be a little bit more positive these days, because the way I look at things, sometimes I'm like, yes, we aspire for things to move, but there's that but yeah.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, things will start moving. We are going into the right directions.
Yeah,
we just need, you know, a bit more effort.
Yeah,
as citizens, as policymakers,
just everyone, because we can't just say somebody must do something. Mm-hmm. Because one thing I've seen is also that it's not only with other people, also with us. We focus more on blaming when things are not working rather than what can we do to move our country forward. Yes, as we have always been saying, today we are going to, you know, it's a Friday, and we are going to look at a topic concern about our country's development. Our country's development, especially regarding to Namibian government. We are going to look at what role can a government play in promoting private sector business. And yeah, and we are also going to look at, just to draw a bit of example from external, you know, factors, or maybe you look at other countries, especially Namibian friends. How do you, no, you know,
when you say friends, I think of our friends that are flying the our new procured aeroplanes right now. So let's see how the conversation goes.
I think we need to start from there. We need to start from there.
Yeah. But immediately when you say friends, I see their faces.
Yeah, but look, how can it's a very difficult question that you need to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You bought a plane, which is not a problem at all, but you don't have necessary skills in your country. You also bought, or you also maybe paid somebody to fly that plane. It's something that you need
no.
to ask.
I was saying, they bought the plane and got the pilot on the house.
For free.
they bought the plane and it came with the pilot. You know those, you will find that people are saying, no, buy what, get for free.
I
think we had to buy planes and get pilots for free.
No. I think it's part of the conversation that we are going to talk about, because we are going to look at Namibia is part of... different agreements, and is in relation with a lot of countries.
Mm-hmm.
Few of those countries are developed, and few of them, they developed very fast. But maybe the question, what can we learn, especially from, what can Namibia learn from China? What can Namibia learn from maybe
Singapore, the U.S.?
South Africa, we can also talk about South Africa, but not really.
You know,
friends, talk about countries which are in relation with Namibia.
Yes, and countries that are economically progressing well.
Yeah.
Because we can have the relations, but we are not able to provide for ourselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we have those conversations, people refer back to our population being a barrier in a way.
Yeah.
And I say it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's complete madness.
Yeah.
We cannot blame a population on how the country is doing.
Yeah.
When the population remains as poor as it is,
yeah,
with the amount of resources the country has.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to tell me we are suffering from being rich, yeah, I would understand.
Yeah.
Because Namibia as a country, as the motherland,
yeah,
is very rich in resources.
Yeah.
And we, the fruit of Namibia, the motherland,
yeah, yeah,
we are not doing so well. So, yeah, so somewhere there's an imbalance in resources distribution,
yeah,
and there's an imbalance in going forward, because the resources are there, the business platforms are there, the yeah, business opportunities are there. There's so much room for growth.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of execution.
And the question that we need to ask ourselves is also this: to say now, who is benefiting from Namibia and who is making business in Namibia? Because when you are in the country, we are saying, no, we do not have opportunities, but other countries are running to Namibia. Other people are running to Namibia to make money. You look at the German, look at others. But maybe one thing that we need to look at is that a country like Singapore,
mm-hmm,
is one of in the top 10 of developed countries in, mm-hmm, the world. That country was very poor in the past 20 years. Was very poor.
Yes.
Was very poor. And what did they do right? And what is also very funny, they have a very small population. It's below 6 million now.
Mm-hmm.
It's below 6 million. But what is very interesting about Singapore, what you can learn from Singapore, is that this country does not have minerals. There's no diamond, there's no uranium. Then the question that you ask yourself, what did they do right?
What Singapore is very well known for is its business-friendly policies,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
strong government involvement in the economic sectors,
yeah,
which is inclusive of ease of doing business. It's very easy, yeah, to do business in, yeah, that country.
Yeah.
Government investment in key industries.
Yeah.
The government easily invests in key industries.
Yeah, yeah.
And then skilled workforce development. They are constantly developing their workforce to fit... To align with what is currently happening,
mm,
because these are the conversations we have all the time, and yeah, we just made the joke about the pilots right now.
Yeah, yeah,
but then it's in relation to this.
Yeah.
If you cannot constantly upskill your workforce,
yeah, yeah,
it means your workforce is not going to be able to do what it needs to be done. Look at the green hydrogen sector that is coming. Let's look at the oil and gas industry that is coming.
Mm.
There are so many opportunities there.
But we have capacity.
But we do not, realistically speaking,
yeah,
I tell people,
yeah,
let's be honest, let's, yeah, have honest conversations.
Yeah.
And it kind of annoys me when people say, we will get there. No, we won't get there, guys. Let's not lie.
No, we are going to get there, but not with this mentality.
A few people will get them.
Yeah.
But what I mean by we won't get there just, yeah, like this is that, even our universities,
yeah,
they're just starting to introduce courses related to these industries now.
Short courses.
Short courses.
Who's teaching these people?
You see, let's start. Who's teaching these people?
Did they even work in that area before?
Exactly my point. And you, yeah, know, these courses are just being introduced now.
Yeah. Yeah.
My point is not that these courses are being introduced now.
Mm.
My point is, even when you get into these industries, you are required to have a certain qualification.
Yeah.
You are required to have certain years of extensive experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by the time you require that experience, it would be 10-5 years in, and we would be done with the industry by then.
No, it is already standing. Yeah, but you mentioned a very interesting point about upskilling. That is exactly what Singapore did. They made sure that, because they were focusing more on tourism,
mm-hmm,
they made sure that whatever company come into Singapore, it trained their people. If you are coming to manufacture car, let me say you are Jan Japan,
yes,
you are not just coming here to sell. Some people, they come and assemble. Some people, they come and manufacture. But the government made the policy to say,
you are coming to teach our people.
You are coming to teach our people. If you have a business, how many percentage of my people are going to be in your company? And how are they going to learn? And that, mm-hmm, is exactly what they did. And you can't, if it's in Oshiwambo, you can say, ito ya tumbupo pevi. You can't yeah, pick. They are very strong now.
Yeah.
And without minerals. But if Singapore can do it without uranium without gold, without diamond.
Without Namdia.
Yeah.
If you know,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Without fish rot. Yeah.
What can we learn from there?
We have so many resources.
No, we have everything. We have everything. Some are not even discovered.
Yes.
Yeah, we are the second DRC in terms of resources.
Yeah. There's still going to be a lot of discoveries coming.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of upskilling. It's just a matter of focusing. And it's a matter of not congesting a particular trade. Because that is what has been happening in the past. Yeah. I don't think we... As Namibians, we foresaw the oil and gas sector coming into play. We didn't foresee the green hydrogen coming into play. Yeah. We didn't foresee so many things coming into play. And that is why we were not able to properly prepare for these things. And the few that knew, Gate kept the information for others.
Yeah.
Because, look, those discoveries were made in partnerships with certain individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
And those discoveries did not start today. Let's take Recon Africa, for example. How long has Recon Africa been in Namibia? How long have they been exploring Namibia?
Yeah.
It didn't start just yesterday. It didn't start the year before that or the other year. If you do your track history, they've been here for quite a while.
Yeah.
But still, we do not have people that are capacitated enough to go into those sectors and take up space. It's like people are here and they are doing their work.
Yeah.
They are drilling wells. They are doing the work. They are looking for whatever they are looking for.
Yeah.
But Namibians are barely being empowered. It's like you are just there and you are the person that... Ramona Mo surgery, name.
Yeah.
There's the doctor that's performing the surgery.
Yeah.
And then there's the sister or, you know, whatever they're called.
The assistant.
The assistant that's just giving the scalpels. You know?
Yeah.
What you give?
Let's go to a commercial.
Let's quickly pay our bills.
Okay.
Life's all about making real moments. So here's to you and your chomies for being 100% real. From jiving to the car wash for the chill, not the wash. To making the cooler box your seat for the night. To going out after work to get that chinos to plucky's feeling. Here's to making everyday moments better by keeping it 100% real. Vintook. Real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
How do we brew the perfect Heineken? At Heineken, we use our 5-star brewing process to ensure a unique balanced taste for that refreshing first... Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Shiwanasha Namibia. Kamberera omakarunga koe pamwe na imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongo dhiyoe yopeke pamwe na imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshiwana no kwanja kakaneka onjimbo moshiwana ashihe sha Namibia. Moka epaka imba.
So like I was saying before, we had to pay our bills. It's like a surgeon performing a surgery, and there's the assistant whose job is just to give scalpels and scissors, disinfect and clean, and you know, do the basics. It's just as important to the whole puzzle. But they will never get to the point of performing a surgery themselves. And that's exactly what's happening with our industry. We get key players that come into Namibia and they come and they do what they have to do, and for the longest time they don't equip anyone else. For example, there is the guy, I forgot his name, but he was the one trading diamonds internationally for Namdia, between Namdia and international companies. That person's contract was being renewed and extended on condition that a Namibian person was being trained.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you are just like, how long does it take to train someone?
Yeah.
So this person has been doing this job for so long. It's in the papers, it's everywhere. If you look it up, you'll find the information. But I'm just saying, this person has been the trader of these minerals, Namibian minerals.
How can somebody come and trade what
tell
you have.
The worth of what you have.
If they don't even have it, they come to you, then they say, no, this is what you worth, this is how I'm going to trade about it. Maybe let us look at because all these countries that we are comparing, whether you look at Singapore, whether you look at we can say a lot of things about US, but US has a lot of has its reputation, good or bad, but these guys, there are things that they did well. Even China.
Yes.
Let's look at the leadership. In Singapore, there is a guy, by the name Rick Wayan. Mm-hmm. That guy has been there from 1959 to 1990.
Yes.
He was a prime minister. But what that man did, what that man did, he made sure that he approved all the corrupt, agents, all the corrupt minds within the government structure.
Individual.
Yeah, then he also made sure that he trained all the public sector to say, no, this is how our country is going to move. This is our investment policies. Whatever we do is for the sake of Singapore. I understand he is named after one university there in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine a very tiny island in the south, southeast of Asia without any mineral resources. But now, when you talk about global power players, you can't do it. No, you can't do it without them.
Yeah.
And they don't even have a larger population.
And they have a lot, and they quite have a lot of businesses wanting to do business there because the business policies that they have in place.
Yeah, but they also made sure that the people, if you make sure that the private sector is good, if you make sure that your business, your domestic business, which are in the country, are protected, it's easy for you. It's easy for you. Yeah, that's why now, when we look at what Namibia can learn, do we really have... Can we really stand up and say we have leadership in Namibia? Can we really stand up and say, no, we have a leader who can take criticism and who can also say, this is what I did without blaming anyone? Because, Helene, up to now...
If such a leader can come forward and say it's me, I will then... I can't dance, but I'll dance and sing for them.
Yeah, just to say, no, enough is enough. No more colonialism, no more we have been colonized, because we are going to do this for a very long time. Just say, this is what is going to happen, this is what I'm going to do, or this is exactly what I did, just for the country to move forward, because there's a difference between when I'm sitting at the office and when I'm campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you compare to other countries, there's a big difference. If, like what happened in China, was it 2020 when the Chinese... come and build the hospital in 10 days. It's during COVID-19.
Yeah.
They built the hospital in 10 days, but you can just see that there is leadership there. But in Namibia, how long is it going to take you? It's a state of art. Not 10 years. Even if you go to 25. Yeah. But they built a state of art, hospital, because they know why they have skills.
And they needed, and there was a need.
Yeah, there was
but
a need.
But with us, there's still a need, but there is no urgency in solving problems.
Yeah.
You see, just yesterday, I was looking at a certain newspaper front page.
Yeah.
And the grade ones, walking in the mud, and they're, fixing classrooms. Grade ones.
Yeah.
While we have a whole ministry, a whole government, that should actually be going out there and making sure these kids are not having to grow up that fast, because these children should be allowed to be children, guys.
And it's a government school.
And it's a government school. These children should be allowed to be children.
Yeah.
Because I cannot be busy.
It's a constructor. They are subcontracting the government.
I'm just saying, like, it's not a wrong thing to start teaching the children too, but at that age, I shouldn't have to,
be responsible for
building the classroom that I need to be taught in.
Yeah. And I know it's very painful, and if we can just learn from other countries, if we can just make the policies right. You know, the business, when you look at Namibian business communities, these guys are really trying to put the government on pressure to recognize them, either to make sure that they are recognized. Look at the difference between let's talk the reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a business organization. When you look at this Naloba now, this NCCI.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think that happened? Private sector saying people are not counting us.
Mm-hmm.
People are not counting us, and we need to stand on our own, because it's us who are moving the
economy.
It's us who are moving the economy, but people are not looking at us. They are just looking at the money that we produce, but they are not promoting us, they are also not recognizing us when it's coming to opportunities. That's why it's very difficult, and that's why we can say, let us learn. Let us learn from our friends, because if we cannot upskill our people, if we cannot encourage our private sector to move forward, there is no way we are going to reach where we want to reach.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And yeah. You know, last year, there was an exchange between Namibian teachers and our friends from China.
Yeah.
And you know, after they came back, we went for the media briefing. Yeah. And I also came to the realization that the Chinese people, they are very deliberate about the actions they take.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to growing their economy.
Yeah.
Because at this particular event, I was finding out things such as for you to be a principal in China,
yeah.
a school principal,
yeah.
you need certain experience.
Yeah.
For you to be a teacher in
yeah.
China,
yeah.
you need to have a certain experience and a master. Like you study
yeah.
and then you have to still prove yourself. And this particular, and what they said, what they do is yeah. they continuously rotate their system.
Mm-hmm.
They are continuously rotating their teachers. They are continuously.
You're not rest.
There is no rest for the weekend. That's right.
Oh.
So they are rotating those people. But yeah. I think when it comes to you either rotating teachers or school principals in yeah. that manner,
yeah.
I don't think it's because you want to exploit people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I look at it and I'm like, it builds hard work.
Yeah.
It also builds. It also kind of instills discipline into the employees
yeah.
because imagine if you know tomorrow you are going to be put in a different school,
different environment,
different superiors,
yeah.
like things are done differently.
Mm.
You are always going to be disciplined to do your best because
yeah.
what are the chances that person will give you a horrible recommendation and you are not able to go anywhere anymore?
Yeah.
And their education system is such that from primary school,
yeah.
the children are being
just from
taught
from grade zero,
yes.
from kindergarten.
I'm sure those kids know better technology than we do.
No, than our engineers.
Yes.
Yeah.
than our engineers.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
a grade two is already learning about computers while
yeah.
we are here busy dissecting locusts. I don't even understand why I was dissecting locusts, guys. Because ever since I left high school,
yeah.
I have not done such a job, but I spent almost 2 weeks on just that particular topic in
yeah.
school. And you look at our education system and you question a few things
yeah.
and you compare it to what I was seeing there, because they
yeah.
had presentations, there
yeah.
were pictures,
yeah.
our people that went were speaking on their behalf. It's not like the Chinese were just selling you their stuff to say this is it.
Yeah.
Our people went to experience this particular things, and you're like, no wonder things are working better that side, because children are being equipped from a very young age.
And they know exactly what you want. I think your point is correlating with this analysis, which says that
mm-hmm.
from 1980, you know, China was very poor like any other country.
Yeah.
China invested in three major areas. Number one is investment,
mm-hmm.
either internal investment where the government is investing it in its own companies or it in the private sector.
Yes.
Then you have education, then you have technological progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is very interesting is that even imagine China was not in the top five, but now it's the second largest economy and fast than all the countries.
Fast
in the,
growing.
Yeah, fast growing in all the countries. That's why this Apple, Tesla, there's no company in the world which is not in China.
Yes,
yeah.
and I think the key features of some of the things that the Chinese are doing
yeah.
that we could learn from them perhaps
yeah.
is from their SOEs,
yeah.
their state-owned enterprises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The government is really, really involved in their state-owned enterprises.
Yeah.
They are continuously giving quarterly reports back to the government
yeah.
to see performances, because they are so determined to not keep someone that is yielding results.
You are absolutely right. Just ask yourself a question. This is an honest thing.
Mm-hmm.
China government is very good at doing business with other country. The construction companies which are constructing roads in Namibia,
yes.
these are Chinese SOEs.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting profit to get money back to China. Mm-hmm. They are not only in Namibia. They are everywhere. Why? What about our SOEs? The CEO is fired tomorrow. There's suspension. Something is lost. How is our SOEs working?
Diamonds are lost. is lost.
Somebody is reinstated. There's just no progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are always being sued because now you suspend someone, you fire them.
Yeah.
They go to court. They fight you.
Yeah.
Now
they win also and get the money from you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of winning these cases, right?
Yeah.
I think you just need to know a lawyer that knows what they are doing in this country.
Then you are done.
Yes, and this cycle is a repetitive cycle, and I think the people that get into these positions also cracked the system in a way that they get in, they do what they have to do, create chaos, they get themselves out of their chaos, dust themselves off, and life goes on like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
The country as a whole loses out on something, but otherwise people's lives just go on. Let's take the bank. Why am
SME.
I the SME bank
like nothing happened.
For instance, millions went and it's we just go to sleep and tomorrow we go on with our life.
Nobody's thinking about it.
GIPF lost a lot of money.
Can you do that in China? You can't do that even in Singapore.
You can't. Each and every one of you guys that ate that money will pay it back.
No. In China, they send you 7 feet under. No negotiation. You already know that. Even if it comes into your mind, you are not going to do it. You are not going to do it. But I think there is something that need to be done, especially because there is one guy who was a speech writer for Thabo Mbeki, sorry that I cannot get the name now. That guy indicated that the power of development is within so let's go to a commercial break.
Okay.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, o mafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-40.
Okay. Welcome back, dear listeners. And if you would like to join our conversation in studio, our telephone lines are now open officially. Our number in studio is 083-288-401-083-288-01. You can give us a call and join our conversation here in studio. But while we wait for that, David, the one thing that I believe Namibia should at least take away from their best friend China is that of the limited market freedom.
Yeah.
And in as much as I think there are people who will be hurt by that decision.
Yeah.
There are certain business individuals that will be hurt by this decision.
Yeah.
But in China, you know, there's the presence of private businesses,
yeah,
but the government still exerts control over sectors that are deemed very important,
yeah,
to the country. Mm. Sectors such as the national security and those that that impacts the national stability of the country. And sometimes the government goes as far as intervening in private company operations,
yeah,
just to make sure,
yeah,
that this company is able to deliver, this company is able to excel,
yeah,
because the economy of the whole country
depends
on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is the same thing that needs to happen with especially,
yeah,
pharmaceutical companies in Namibia.
Yeah.
Because, and this is, for me, this is a very sensitive conversation. Hospitals don't have medication.
Yeah.
Hospitals don't have resources.
Yeah.
Imagine a wound that requires a Band-Aid, ne?
Yeah.
And it does not make logical sense because the government spends so much money into procurement,
yeah,
of medical supplies. Yet, there is a middleman somewhere.
There's a lot of middlemen in Namibia.
There's a middleman somewhere who is benefiting,
mm-hmm,
and undersupplying at overpriced thing it is,
yeah,
and now the hospitals are sitting without resources. Now the hospitals are sitting without what? But you also need to be able to give a proper you need to give proper health facilities to the people.
Yeah.
You need to be able to guarantee the people that being sick is not something we just go looking for.
Yeah.
So you need to guarantee your citizens that you will be taken care of when you go to a Namibian hospital. Do you know that nowadays people would rather stay at home than go to the hospital?
You come back sick.
No, you come back more sick, you come back more tired.
Without any medication. And
without medication, if you are fortunate, you can afford it at a private pharmacy.
Yeah.
You get it there. And that is why I have this argument to say, it's not about the inavailability of medication.
Yeah.
Because if it was a mere case of inavailability of medication, then the private sector wouldn't have it.
Yeah, it's true. things are there, but it's how you get them. Where is the problem?
Yes, it's where you get them.
But I want to end at a point when you talk about government intervening at things which are national issues. Just like those major companies, the government of China made sure that every major thing, if it's energy, if it's electricity, if it's construction, they have their own SOEs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the private sector can subcontract, but they made sure that these SOEs, they
and
are driving
their
this.
Security.
Yeah, they are driving this. If they say, let us construct a railway company, a railway from here, from Windhoek to Walvis Bay, they make sure that SOEs, they are driving this. Even if something happened, subcontractors don't matter, because these guys are the one who are in charge of this thing. That's why the Chinese, they have the best transport system, especially in terms of railway. And it's very easy because they have those speed railway, how do they call it? Not to say bullet trains, but they have railways which connect towns to towns, and it's easy for you to go to work and also come back anytime, unlike us. If you did not wake up at 7 o'clock, the time you reach at work is It's already late.
You know, we are actually super lucky. We are not micromanaged.
Yeah.
Because if we were being micromanaged, by the time you get to work, there'll be someone looking at you and their wristwatch when you enter.
Yeah.
They'll be like, David, what time is it?
Well,
like they know the time, but they still want you to
understand.
Yes, that you are late.
Yeah.
And some these are just some of the things that needs to be done to make sure we have an economy that is running smoothly. You know, I don't think there's so much going on, especially with Trump becoming the U.S. president now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm still to see how our relations with our other big brother is going to be impacted.
Yeah.
Given that, his reign came with a lot of stops, with a lot of job losses, with a lot of, you know, things. And we have seen how South Africa retaliated. But, you know, usually it's a monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
But in this case...
You know what? It's very fun. When South Africa is fighting, we are just like a small boy. When the big boy is fighting, you are there at the back.
Yeah, whatever happens. You are to chill with the big boys.
Well, whatever happened, we are just saying, no, let's do what we do. But you know what is interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed a few economists and they are saying, I think this thing of Trump stopping giving aid, it's a good thing because it's teaching most of the developing countries to work hard.
Self-reliance.
But sometimes you can say, yeah, it could be. But sometimes we also need those assistance. But until when? Until when we are just going to rely on external people?
I think it should have been a gradual plan.
Yeah.
To say, guys... Mm. Start fixing your economies, start getting backup plans, because we are gradually going to start withdrawing our funds. Shashi, these people, as Africans, we are so used to being spoon-fed.
We are spoiling you.
we are so used to being spoon-fed.
Yeah.
And I think the frustration with Trump is that most of this money does not even get to the intended people.
Yeah.
Because there are people...
Mm.
You see, there are people in projects of hope. There are people in projects of hope. There are people in, in what aids and the list goes on.
Yeah.
And you will come to realize that the money that is sent from those people to come aid this particular project and what eventually gets to the project is not a make sure.
No, we are not making sure.
It's like just the transfer alone cost half the total amount.
Yeah. But I think let's look at because there's always hope. We are 5 minutes before the end of our show. There's always hope, ne?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still standing. There's one statement which was made by our president-elect last year.
Yes.
You can call it an acceptance speech because after the victory,
yes, it's an acceptance speech.
Yeah, then she indicated that things are not going to be the same anymore.
Business as usual,
and we really want to say that if she mean what she say and she's going to do what she say,
and I'm hoping we get to see that because even the day before yesterday, they had the launch of their. Tank team, or I'm not sure what to call it exactly, but
the technical team
that is going to oversee a few things, and they stated of 55,000 houses, $4 billion internship investment, sports stadiums, and I would love to see these things come to fruition because I don't want 3 years down the lane we are still asking for houses. At least if we are going to be asking for houses in 3 years, we should be asking for the remaining 25 houses.
But you know,
not the complete 55.
But you know what I think also, Namibia, in some occasion, we can have really good leaders. But who is betraying the struggle? It's people who are not implementing. It's people who are on their way. Because, you know, we criticize the late Genko for a very long time. But when he died, we realized that this guy was so intentional in what he was doing. But he can't do it alone. There's always somebody who is blocking what you want to do. That's why if the president-elect is going to do what she's saying, is going to do, Let's also have people support. She also needs support.
She not just support. Yeah. She also need to be deliberate about her appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these people
that
are in key government positions right now, they have been in key government positions since independence.
They know how to play their cards.
Look, what I'm trying to say is, they are veteran politicians, they are veteran ministers, they have mastered the system, and they know the loopholes in and out of the system. So it's going to be difficult for her to also know, who am I going to chop, who am I going to put on the chopping board, except for those that automatically falls out because they were not elected, right? But then she still needs to go to you know, after she's inaugurated, she still needs to choose and appoint her 8 appointees. She has a few upcoming difficult choices to make.
Not few. It's just a tough job. Just a tough job to do.
She has difficult implementations to make.
And in those implementations,
you are not even sure that when you trust someone to go and execute something, they will execute it according to what you to what you planned. They will see your vision and execute it as it should be, or they will decide to take the shortcut, and then when they take the shortcut, the building scrambles midpoint,
and that's going to define your leadership, because it's you who appoint somebody.
Yes,
people are just going to blame you straight, but you know, it's going to be very difficult. I think
so. She needs to be very deliberate about her actions, and she also needs to stand on business, like she said. It's not business as usual. So she really needs to make sure she is going for competent instead of loyalty. I know you need to be loyal to your fellow veterans. You guys came a long way, but in this case, we have an economy to grow, guys. Let's leave you know, battle fights alone. We respect the history, but this is time for economical fights. This is time that we fight for our economy and actually make sure it works.
Yes, with those words, we come to the end of our program. Just maybe to recap, we are looking at how can the government, you know, support the private sector. Then we were just giving a very short comparison between Namibia and partners in terms of it can be trade or in terms of international relation. We are comparing China, what Namibia can learn from China, what Namibia can learn from Singapore, and we touch a little bit on the US. But for now, due to time, thank you very much for listening to us, and
we'll see you guys on Monday, same time, same place, same radio frequency. Do continue listening to your number one radio station, that is of Eagle FM. We will leave you in the capable hands of Uncle Fly, who will be taking you through Omutunga.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavchaziva. Uvele kisema app atolo kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopo nye mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilingi, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzira mlimu zengwi zefu.